gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show today without the gastrointestinal distress.
So far,
but let's hope
but
so.
But with more Middle East distress. Okay. Yeah, that could happen just from reading the accounts of Syria. All right, and we will talk to Representative Adam Schiff, who is on the House Intelligence and Flavin.
And he could tell us, but he'd have to kill us.
Right. Yes.
He's seen some of the intelligence that we have, so he may have a better.
We haven't,
opinion.
Is what you meant to say.
Yeah, or that we haven't, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he, for instance, is still against arming the rebels and a broader intervention in the Civil War, but would support targeted strikes to get rid of the delivery systems for chemical weapons.
That sounds like what's going to happen, actually.
I am very queasy about this entire situation.
But how do you avoid, the launch vehicles you can destroy, but if they already have the stuff on them,
then you disperse the mustard gas or sarin or whatever they're using.
Yes, and then we have effectively gassed more Syrians. It's a mess.
But the sticky wicket.
Right. You know what? In fact, I need to cleanse my palate first.
Uh-oh.
With some magical Pat Robertson audio.
No.
Because you just...
This is not a palate cleanser.
Isn't he getting to the... Because I know it's fun to make fun of evil Uncle Chuckles and, you know... But hasn't he... Isn't it time to get in the padded room? Isn't it time to get in the little room where they put implements away and stuff?
Shouldn't we put him in the car and take him to a farm where he can run free?
Right. Or hear the pretty birds.
Yes.
And he'll become bacon.
I think it is time to get in the car and go to the farm.
Sure.
Right. Oh, heavens. Mm. All right. Well, and even this is how you know, even the folks at the 700 Club went, okay.
They
edited out of the
one later broadcast.
Right.
Yes, they've scrubbed it clean.
They thought better of it. Upon reflection, they decided not to air it again. I was trying to look here. The one that got posted online.
Yeah.
Yeah, that somehow had been disappeared into the.
Saved by others, though.
Into the cornfield. Yes, it was a little too late, though. Okay. Here he is with some thoughts on the gays.
Mm-hmm.
In San Francisco. Oh, with AIDS.
Yes.
The homosexual community has put these draconian laws on the books that prohibit people from discussing this particular affliction. You can tell somebody they got a heart attack. You can tell them they've got high blood pressure, but you can't tell anybody they've got AIDS. Mm-hmm. You know what they do in San Francisco, some of the gay community, they want to get people so if they've got the stuff... They'll have a ring, you shake hands, and the ring's got a little thing where you cut your finger.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's that kind of vicious stuff, which would be the equivalent of murder.
Really? Really?
No, not
can
gays
you
are...
pay? What does she make? Seriously, can you pay someone enough?
Really? Jerry Newsom
is
her
that's
name.
That's really interesting.
Really? Uh-huh.
Excuse me, I've got an appointment back on Earth.
Actually, during that interview, she showed a lot more compassion towards the gay community than
probably,
he did.
She's probably fighting today.
Yeah. She says, I have many gay friends, and I've never heard that.
Well, so you're a lesbian. I wasn't aware of that. You're going to go to a lake of fire.
Oh, perhaps he'd like to leave to perform a Nicaraguan crab sandwich.
She's being put into the car right now and taken to a farm where she can run free.
Wow.
Or, according to Louis Gohmert, might be getting vaccinations to cull the population.
Yeah. Right. Oh, we haven't gotten to that crazy yet.
Wow.
We'll get to that crazy in a minute. Oh, my God. Okay.
Culling the herd.
Yeah. So, let's review. He says that this is exclusive to San Francisco, the Ring of Death?
Yes.
Because there are no gays anywhere outside area code.
Right. It's like a magic Dakota ring that you get in a Cracker Jack's but it's a... It's the Ring of Death.
Cracker Jacks, sailor on the front.
Uh-huh.
Hello, sailor. Huh?
Right.
What? Know what I'm saying? See? It's so obvious now, isn't it?
Once again, let's review. So he thinks gays in San Francisco have devised a ring.
That will cut you.
That will cut you.
When you shake hands.
And implant you with AIDS eggs. Well, then
Okay.
Mature and Mothra will fly out your nose.
And so he refers to AIDS as the stuff.
The stuff.
If you got the stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, I got the stuff.
The ring's got a little thing. So it's presumably some sort of, like, it's a little razor kind of ring or something?
Yeah.
That is designed specifically.
Right. It has a little needle
on
it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. And, right. Yes, he said it's kind of vicious stuff, which would be the equivalent of a murder.
Murder.
Well, yes, it would be
if it were true
in any way and you were not completely
insane. I wonder what the CDC has to say about
insane.
This. Probably
right.
Nothing.
Yes. Right. And that's, well, right, not to mention scientifically you
Wait a minute.
Wouldn't get
AIDS
that way anyway. But my point is...
The Center for Disease Creation.
Right.
Ha-ha! Jacques! Right.
The remarks came in response to a viewer, apparently, who wrote in upset that her church had not informed her that a man she was driving to services was dying of AIDS. Robertson advised her to not have sex with him.
That was not going to be an issue, I'm pretty sure.
And that she would be safe as long as there was no bodily fluid transmission.
Oh, my God.
As you recall, earlier this summer, he wished there was a vomit button to push on Facebook
right.
from whenever he saw photos of
gay people kissing.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like a vomit button on Facebook, but just for people showing off. Okay. Which is kind of more common than even
that's
photos.
But that's what you do on Facebook. You show off.
Whatever. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Just to balance out that news, this is actually kind of big. Walmart will offer health insurance benefits to same-sex couples and domestic partners
wow.
starting in 2014.
It's America's largest employer.
Yeah, after the government.
Yeah.
Yeah, after only the federal government. Given the diverse world we're in, we want to have a comprehensive benefits package that appeals to the contemporary workforce. We want to attract and retain the best workforce.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
Wow, wow.
Who are you and what have you done with Walmart?
Wow, I know who's not going to be shopping there.
Walmart has made strides in certain areas. Like, all of their new stores are as green as possible.
Hmm.
And
Pat Robertson now wishes there was a vomit button for Facebook.
Yes.
Right. Instead of, okay.
You know, in other areas, they still need to do some work.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yes.
Yeah.
But if you want to buy some really ginormous pants,
right.
Walmart's the place to go.
If you need the biggest pants ever, there you go.
And I still love the People of Walmart website.
By the way, in a completely unrelated story to the thing you just said, how fun is the Daily News fight with Chris Christie?
Oh, my God.
I love New York papers anyway. It's just the headline is, who are you calling an idiot, fatso?
Yeah.
That is a New York headline.
That is. You're not going to find that in Dubuque.
He apparently called one of their reporters an idiot.
Yeah.
He just called him fatso. Right on the front page.
And New York, but what am I?
Oh. Wow. All right. Over to Syria. Yeah. Things is getting scary, Jim. You know what? First of all, we better arm
getting
up.
Getting scary?
It's getting scary. We better arm up, all of us. We got a new sponsor.
This is Crazy Dave with this week's crazy specials at Drone City. It's the greatest drone sale ever. General Atomics, Scaled Composites, Lockheed Martin. We have all your favorite unmanned aerial vehicles under one roof. Look at this. Autonomous recon drones. No background check required. $49.95. Remotely piloted vehicles. Ground control station included from just $89.95. Crazy. Come on down. Free hot dogs and free balloons for the kids.
My dad got me this Predator. MQ-1 attack drone with AGM Hellfire missile and help me set it up.
That's awesome.
Forget Iraqi freedom. It's Operation Fun for the whole family at Drone City. Remember, the FAA says that by 2015 there should be over 7,500 drones in the air over America. Make sure one of them is yours. Just grab the controls and before they know it, you've got a bird's eye view of your neighbor.
Get out of here, you big perv.
Maximize your control over any situation with minimal risk and minimal collateral damage. Get it all on sale now at Crazy Dave's greatest drone sale ever. Remember, we will not be undersold. We cannot be undersold. We will never be undersold. And we mean it. Crazy Dave Drone City. Our prices and our product are insane.
Whether in a group or all alone, everything's better when you have your own Drone City.
Now,
that'll resolve those playground disputes.
Yeah.
What if someone were to hack into the system and take over several drones and crash them into, someone's house?
Yeah.
Someone you don't like.
There's quite another thing to consider this morning.
Yeah.
You know what? And here's the other magical thing.
What?
I may agree with Newt Gingrich this morning. He said both sides are bad in this conflict, and there's no winning. I don't.
Well,
yeah. Once again, it's like the question we used to ask in Iraq: what's winning?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I
how many
I
people
get
do
it.
We have to kill before we say we've won?
Do we really want to stick our hand in that bag of vipers?
It is really, I mean, the more you read about it, the more you just, because it is horrible. You can't say, I mean, as Americans, you can't say, oh, we don't care about all these, and I get that there is a line crossed when you use chemical weapons. I just don't know what,
it doesn't seem
like there's a good option on what to do about it. If it doesn't change the calculus of the war or take out Assad, I don't know what it does. You
somewhere
know,
somebody is making money off of this.
Yeah.
That's what it always ends up being.
Well, I mean, yeah, and that's what I'm spacing on the top general's name that wrote, the letter talking about how all the options are bad, and that's why he didn't recommend it. And now John McCain's basically calling him,
traitor.
A puss.
Oh.
No, a puss. Oh, he ought to be embarrassed. Because he wrote all of this in the letter to I think it was, Representative Engel.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Engel. Yes,
right.
Our good friend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, and that's the other thing, is John McCain's never specific. I guess just half the world he would make a parking lot, and that would, it just seems like no matter what anyone does, it's not going to be enough for him, and I don't know what enough is. Like, what do we do then? I mean, it's just, is he being specific? Do we send troops in? Is that what he's talking about? He literally called General What's-His-Name up yesterday, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. For saying, because of exactly what Jim said. He warned of the costs, of the ineffectiveness of a lot of different options. Anyway, so we'll talk about it.
And Fox News is saying that Obama's only doing this so he doesn't look like an idiot.
Right. Right.
Hmm.
Okay. And John McCain said he didn't do it soon enough.
Yeah.
Right.
He's doing too much, not enough.
Because he should have gone in on flimsy evidence of chemical weapons earlier that we didn't actually have definitive proof of, because that's never ended badly before in any way. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Back with all of this as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Listen to Stephanie Miller
from a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, World War III about to start. But in other news, let's see what new words the Oxford Online Dictionary has added.
Okay.
Derp. I take credit for that.
Derp.
Derp.
As in herp derp or just a single derp?
Derp.
Okay.
Yes. I think it was... same thing as herp derp.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think Dana Loesch is the one who extended it to herp derp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
and Squee. I take credit for Squee as well. Squee.
Mm-hmm.
Van Jones.
Squee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And also selfie. Thanks, Geraldo. Okay.
Also twerk. Twerk made it in, too.
Of course. Thank you, Miley. And your giant foam finger. All right. We had to actually part two on CNN last night of dissecting the whole Miley Cyrus thing.
Really?
And is there a double standard? Because Robin Thicke didn't take any heat.
Yeah.
And that is true. It's not like they didn't rehearse it 45 times. It's
but
like
he wasn't really doing...
Right, but they rehearsed it. It's not like he's like, oh my God, what's she doing? He knew exactly what.
She's the one who did the twerking.
It was like Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction. Like her... He fell out all by itself.
Yes.
Justin Timberlake took no heat for that.
I'm glad Janet Reno never had a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, thank God.
And apparently The Onion took CNN to task for its nonstop coverage of Miley Cyrus.
Who did?
The Onion.
Oh, all right. Well, and I was a part of that.
Yes,
and
you were.
And I helped.
And you, it happened, and you let it happen.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I offered to twerk and give a lap dance to Dean Abdallah, my friend who I'm on CNN with. But, I was safely in my box, and he was not.
Uh-huh.
Rick
never mind.
Rick in Illinois. Hello, Rick. Welcome.
Good morning. I know this is a comedy show, but one of the mooks said something so important. I mean, somebody's making money in sending these Tomahawk missiles overseas, and I just don't understand why we have to keep being the world's police department. You don't see Sweden sending over rockets. You don't see Iceland sending rockets. You don't see Japan fighting these wars.
I mean, Rick,
why did the United States
Rick, this is it's General Dempsey I was talking about. This is what he was talking about, what the cost of this was going to be and the relative ineffectiveness And, you know, John McCain basically is calling him puss for it, and that he should be embarrassed.
Well,
I mean, it's really... And plus, it's like Republicans like John McCain, they also don't like to pay for these wars, you know? I mean, this is... Here we go again, right? Where, oh, suddenly we got to cut on everything, every program, but we have a few billions left over for another war in the middle. It just, it's really...
But none for bridges or hospitals or sewer systems. Or
right.
Union
Here's the
workers.
Incredibly helpful John McCain on...
The question is, will those attacks just be a retaliation and Bashar basically goes on as normal, or will those attacks degrade his capabilities, particularly his air capabilities?
Right, so we got to go bigger and better and boomier, apparently. So whatever when President Obama has not even decided to do yet will not be enough, clearly.
Right. And when you degrade things, you end up killing people. It's inevitable.
Right.
So that's what we need, more dead people.
John McCain says Obama gave the green light to Syria to use chemical weapons. Yes, you see, this will just, there will be no, there's an America. That will just be a, how is this Barack Obama bad?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, really, Grampy, what would you have done? I mean, would you have bombed like half the countries on the earth by now if you'd gotten, God forbid, into office? John McCain said that statements by Dempsey signaled to Assad that he could escalate his use of chemical weapons against his own population without significant international consequences. He said General Dempsey has to be embarrassed. Obviously, Dempsey, because he's a giant about his letter to the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Elliot Engel and others, he said, Dempsey said the U.S. should not intervene militarily in Syria and that even destroying Assad's air force was not a good idea. He said it would not be militarily decisive, but it would commit us decisively to the conflict. Actually, what he wrote sounds fairly wise to me.
Yeah.
Syria today is not about this is what he'd written previously. Syria today is not about choosing between two sides, but rather about choosing among many sides. We should evaluate the effectiveness of limited military options in this context. And that's where, oh, God forgive me, Newt Gingrich is right. Assad is bad, but the rebels are comprised of God knows what elements, you know? And that's why we're afraid of arming them, because you don't know whose hands these weapons are going to fall into.
And then there's, again, the matter of the natural gas coming from Russia through the stands.
Right.
That's not going to go over well if we disrupt.
Yeah. Then, of course, here's the Obama bad part from John McCain. Obama also shares the blame for giving Assad the impression he could escalate the use of. Yeah, you remember he winked, I think, in one speech. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, big boy. Do whatever you want.
By not responding forcefully, get this, to previous alleged chemical weapons attacks. Oh, that would have been good after Iraq. We don't quite have all the evidence, but you know what? Pretty sure. So we're going to...
God.
Assad was able to use chemical weapons before, and there was no response, so why not do it again? This should surprise no one, McCain said. They viewed that as not a red line, but a green light, and they acted accordingly. But here's what actually happened in April. U.S. intelligence agencies reported with varying degrees of confidence. Where have we heard that before? I mean, again, after Iraq, something that you have varying degrees of confidence.
We're confident-ish.
On a small scale, you're going to really. He should have already bombed Syria. Anyway, with varying degrees of confidence, Syria had used chemical weapons against its political opponents on a small scale. Before that, on August 20th, 2012, is when Obama had said the thing about, he said, we've been very clear with the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground that a red line for us is when we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized, that would change my calculus, that would change my equation. So that's what's happened. But this is the other thing where Grampy is always distinctly unhelpful, and here's what he should have done then, and if this would have happened. Really? Because the Middle East is always so predictable and calm. It would, oh, yes, really? If he'd done that, then this would have happened? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, and it's counterproductive. Anyway, according to McCain, the limited strikes the administration is preparing for won't be a game changer and wouldn't succeed in deterring us. Here we go.
How does he know?
Whatever he did do wasn't enough, and whatever he's going to do
won't
be enough.
He's just bitter.
Yikes. All right.
Or he'll go too much and go too far, which will still not be enough.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Frickin' head pounding. I'm sweating booze and my mouth's killing me.
You're the one who stuffed four pool balls in it.
Personal best.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Representative Adam Schiff, our own personal congressman.
Yes,
from right there.
Right here. Right here.
The House Intelligence Committee will talk about his view on Syria at
his
the top of the hour.
His view would be, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Right. It's always his view.
Yep.
But we try to just get a look in his eye, see what we think.
Distract him.
Right.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah.
He's not easily tricked, sadly for us. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Cindy in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I wish if we were going to spend a bunch of money, why don't we spend it on the refugees in the countries, all the people pouring out of Syria. Mm-hmm. Of course, it'd be nice if we had a couple of bucks for our schools here in Arizona through K through 12 because they suck. We're dead last in the nation.
Oh. Yeah. So, hey, how about that, John McCain?
Maybe some bridges that don't collapse. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Cindy, that's what I mean. It's just, you know, apparently we have money for any war anywhere, according to John McCain. But, you know, it's just no money for anything here.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that point. It's not that, and I get it that a lot of people, it's not that they don't care what's happening. It is horrible. And it is a war crime, in my opinion. And I don't, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that that's part of what everybody's talking about. What do you do as part of the world community when somebody goes this far? Because I think chemical weapons. Somebody made the point yesterday, and I get it. They're like, what difference does it make how you kill somebody?
Well,
or is blowing them up any worse than? And I'm like,
There was a lot of suffering going on in those videos.
But I mean, I guess there is. I guess we as the world community have decided that there is a difference. Mm-hmm. I mean. Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, talking about this yesterday.
There is no doubt who is responsible for this heinous use of chemical weapons in Syria. The Syrian regime.
That's the difference. Like someone said, there's video this time. We know what happened. This is not like, you know, the run-up to Iraq.
But also,
sorry, Jim, go ahead.
Chemical weapons are harder to contain in that it spreads all
right,
over
exactly.
the place. You know, you can hide to some extent from an exploding shell if you, you know,
well, that's why that's,
basement
that's,
or something. But.
Right. That's why the international community, I think, has said this is a war crime. Because I do get what people were saying. Using high-level explosives is not like those people are any less dead. But and this has been going on, at least a couple of years now. But
this just spreads.
Yeah, but when you're blown up by a bomb, that's instantaneous. But there was a lot of suffering.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So John McCain said they might do a strike and say, see, we punished them, but it won't change the equation. I would expect Assad to continue to use these weapons. And other Assads around the world will now not hesitate to use these weapons, and sooner or later they may be used against Americans. What's your solution then? I mean, he really is. He's an armchair commander-in-chief. He's just, Obama's done it all wrong. There's no saving it now, and now we're all going to get blown up because of him. It's like, what does he think we should do? Like, I don't, that's what I never get. Whenever he offers criticism, it's never like, here's what I would do.
Yeah.
If I weren't, you know, the leader of the free world. Joe Biden again.
National security is strengthened when we hold accountable those who violate international norms.
So the news this morning, if you've just tuned in, from the Washington Post, President Obama is weighing a military strike against Syria that would be of limited scope and duration, designed to serve as punishment for Syria's use of chemical weapons and as a deterrent, while keeping the U.S. out of deeper involvement in that country's civil war. According to senior administration officials, the timing of such an attack, which would probably last no more than 2 days and involve sea-launched cruise missiles and possibly long-range bombers striking military targets not directly related to Syria's chemical weapons arsenal. There's your answer on that, Jim. Because you were saying, you know, what if there's still chemical weapons? Then you're helping disperse. Yeah. It would be dependent on three factors: completion of an intelligence report assessing the Syrian government's culpability in last week's chemical attack, ongoing consultation with allies in Congress, and determination of a justification under international law. That's what I found a little bit surprising, is international law is a little
hinky,
untested in this area. Again, videos and statements by witnesses and relief organizations such as Doctors Without Borders have proved that an attack occurred, Kerry said. I mean, again, this is not like Iraq. This is...
The Russians are claiming we don't have any proof that Assad used chemical weapons.
Well, I mean, I think, who was it that said blah, blah, blah? I don't know if we have that soundbite, but... Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, saying this...
We know that the regime maintains custody of the chemical weapons in Syria.
and uses the types of rockets that were used to deliver chemical weapons on August 21st. The opposition does not.
Well, that, I mean, and that...
Well...
that seems to be common sense.
Yes.
The rebels don't have these... I mean, it's... You know, and the fact that obviously, you know, the UN inspectors have come under sniper fire and they're doing everything they can to keep them out. John Kerry said that obviously points toward guilt that they keep trying to get, you know, stop them from investigating.
Yeah.
Kerry said, Syrian forces had engaged in a cynical attempt to cover up their actions, not only delaying the arrival of the UN team in the first place, but by shelling the affected area continually. Anyway, and then Jay Carney said, what we're talking about here is a potential response to this specific violation of international norms. Kerry said this international norm cannot be violated without consequences. You know, and here we go again where, you know, France and Germany agrees, and then, but if you actually went to the UN Council, Russia and China would...
They'd have
would
a veto.
Veto it. Right.
Right.
UN is useless. I'm
Lord.
Sorry.
Representative Adam Schiff, who we will talk to...
In just a few minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
He said, we will have to act. I don't think we can allow the repeated use of chemical weapons now and escalated use of chemical weapons to stand. He, by the way, has long opposed any U.S. intervention, including the administration's decision this summer to send light arms to Syria's opposition forces. So it will be interesting to talk to him about what, you know, has changed in his particular calculus. Washington Post further saying the administration has said that it will follow international law in shaping its response. And again, this is what authorization for the use of force comes only from the UN Security Council, where obviously Russia and China have vetoed previous resolutions against Assad. But much of international law is, as I was saying, untested, and administration lawyers are also examining possible legal justifications based on a violation of international prohibition on chemical weapons.
What if we end up being at war with Russia and China?
Supporters
of Syria.
German foreign minister said the use of chemical weapons would be a crime against civilization. The international community must act should the use of such weapons be confirmed. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have everybody on every side saying, Chuck Hagel, defense secretary.
Let's get the facts. Let's get the intelligence. And then a decision will be made on whether action should be taken, if action should be taken, what action, or no action.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. This Syria thing is a lot like the NSA thing. It's complex. It's, you know, it's not simple. You know,
well, you know,
Rachel
Maddow said that last night. She said, this is tough stuff. This is, you know.
Yeah. And to me, the big question is, what is the end game? What is the exit strategy? Sure, we can get in. And I mean, I'll give Obama.
Well, I don't think we're talking about getting in, Tommy. I think that's the difference. We're talking about limited strikes. But I,
well,
again, you're right.
Even with limited strikes, what is the end game?
Right. What does it do?
To accomplish, and how are we going to get out?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly the point. What does it do exactly?
Yeah. And Mama, one more thing, real quick.
Yes.
You guys had the argument over NSA.
Yes.
You know, and you guys were hurting each other and everything.
Yes.
Tearing
each other apart.
Yeah, you know, yelling and screaming
right.
and stuff. I really think you guys should take your vacations together.
Oh, God.
You know what? I believe in limited strikes. There's no reason to go DEFCON 5 on them and do that to them, buddy. That's a war crime right there. Really? All right.
I actually had a physical reaction to
right?
him
when
saying that.
Good.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Like,
You for a split second thought, can she do that? Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
We're all going to spinning class for a week.
Ah! You know how allergic to cardio I am.
On hurting each other. I know you might, right? Just atrophy, like, ooh, shrivel like a little raisin.
I can't do cardio.
We go on. Okay. Damon Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Please don't take a vacation together.
Thank you.
We'll be fighting even more when we get back.
Well, and, you know, Jim, you said go to war with China. I've been at war with China, which is why I only use paper plates. But
what you did there.
The bottom line here is, as a chemical weapons and pesticide toxicologist who worked on this stuff,
we've needed an official one of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, we.
Please, I'd love to be the official one.
Okay.
And official something. But, you know, the pinpoint pupils were what gave it away. It was very clear. It was organophosphorus. It was a nerve agent, not like mustard, which is what eats away your skin. So they're very different. And that's the good news. But, the bottom line here is, you know, one thing I'd be doing is, you know, putting thousands and thousands of gallons of bleach into the hands of the rebels, because bleach will break that stuff down immediately. Very, very easy and available way to help people protect themselves. And the second part, and the second problem is that, and this was the same thing back when Clinton hit Libya with the cruise missiles, you can modify a pesticide factory to create chemical weapons very simply.
Mm-hmm.
And so why are we going to destroy their entire agricultural infrastructure at the same time? Because if that happens, then that just compounds into the next massive problem for people. There are different ways to address this, but, you know, the chemical weapons thing, they're easy to make, they're cheap, that's why these people use them, they scare people, but there are some antidotes.
I'm confused, what do you do with the bleach? What do you mean?
You just spray it right on there.
On yourself?
That is so, like...
Anything you think is coated.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
It just seems so counterproductive. So people might be afraid to do it, you know?
It absolutely. You know, and the thing about the chemical weapons is that you don't see them.
Right.
So you don't know. You're almost paralyzed. So the process is you spray everything you're going to come in contact with bleach, leave it for a couple minutes. It breaks that molecule down and becomes non-toxic.
Now, can you spray it on someone's face if they're affected?
If it's on their face,
not in their eyes,
they're done. They're done. It's too late. If you're exposed to sarin or Soman or DX, I'm talking pinpoint amounts within a couple minutes.
Wow.
The second problem is anybody that's even partially exposed is going to have issues.
That's what I was saying. Once again, this is one of those things that's not necessarily partisan. You know, I mean, I think as human beings, you can't go, who cares? I mean, of course we care.
You know what,
and the other
Stephanie,
thing is this
right.
I mean, this whataboutism. Oh, what about, you know, poor kids here? It's like you can care about that and about kids being gassed in Syria. Like, you know, it's not one
there
or the other.
No, that is exactly right. And it's this fake choice that people are making. We care about kids here. We care about kids there as well.
Exactly.
And there are ways to deal with this and de-escalate that situation.
Have the Koch brothers cough up some cash. They're sitting on mountains of it.
Well, or if we really wanted to fight a dirty war, we just bring the Koch brothers over there.
There we go.
And leave them.
Because they do fight dirty.
All right. Stephanie Miller showed. Never mind. Okay, 47 minutes
we
after.
We endorse that.
No, we do not.
Oh.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Save my life. Yeah, you gotta get up, you gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl.
Well, which is it?
Mm-hmm.
Get up or get down?
What?
You gotta get up to get down.
Ah.
For 2 days from vacation, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kevin in Chicago with an interesting point. Steph in the MOOC, so let's not forget that Grampy, I've never met a war I didn't like, McCain, along with his dancing partner, Lindsey Graham, are telling us and the president, we needed to load up Libya and Muammar Gaddafi with our military hardware only about a year or so before that country went into the...
Yeah.
McCain is good for one thing, advising the president on what to do so he can do the complete opposite. All right. Let's go to Stanley in Milwaukee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Stan.
Yeah, hi. You know, these sinister regimes and insidious people that run these tin pot dictators, they're evil. And Assad's been evil from day one of his takeover. He's got death squads. He enslaves people, political prisoners. And for the past 2 years, the Civil War, there's thousands of people have been butchered. I guess the question is, why is it when we gin up this notion of chemical warfare, everyone seems to care? So I'm wondering why there's a blind eye until the notion of chemical warfare comes in there. Same thing with Iraq. That's the only reason Stanley rallied support.
I take your point. It is sort of like going, you can go ahead and keep killing people, but just not with chemical weapons. But, you know, I think as Jim said, there's a number of reasons why the international community has said this is a war crime. Right, because it also can drift. It can dissipate. It's, you know. Jay Carney, the White House press secretary.
The options that we are considering are not about regime change. They are about responding to a clear violation of an international standard that prohibits the use of chemical weapons.
Fred in New Hampshire. Hi, Fred. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I am just interested in finding out why is this such an issue with Syria when, in fact, Israel has done the same thing using phosphorus chemicals against Palestinians. They got UN condemnation, and we turn a blind eye because they are our friends, and no matter what
Israel true.
Does,
yep.
It's okay. So it's a huge hypocrisy, and we totally lost our credibility just invading Iraq on false pretenses.
Well, that's right. Tina Dupuy was saying that yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem, you know. Thank you, George Bush. But I mean, that is, you know, and I, like clockwork, all of our enemies around the world cited Iraq when talking about, you know, what should happen here. Russia and China have stepped up their warnings against military intervention in Syria, with Moscow saying any such action would have catastrophic consequences for the region. On Monday, Britain's prime minister spoke to Vladimir Putin, who said there was no evidence that Syria had used chemical weapons against rebels. He's so.
No evidence that I picked up boy's shirt to kiss his belly. It was not me. It was some other fellow.
He's just been so helpful in every regard lately, hasn't he, Putin?
Look in his face when he's sitting next to Obama.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who is this person? Why are you here? Go away.
John Kerry reiterated, make no mistake, President Obama believes there must be accountability for those who would use the world's most heinous weapons against the world's most vulnerable people. There's some Western countries are suggesting military action against the Syrian government could be taken without a UN mandate. And the Russian whoever guy said that for you, the use of force without Security Council backing would be a crude violation of international law. Well, now there's going to be this whole fight legally. You know, there's those that claim Syria has already, you know, violated international law.
By using chemical weapons.
Yes. The UN Security Council divided this. We were talking about Russia and China opposing military intervention. The UK and France warning the UN could be bypassed if there was a great humanitarian need. Here's what makes me go the other way now. Tony Blair wrote an op-ed.
Tony Blair.
He said if the West does not intervene to support freedom and democracy. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
There we go again.
Then the George Bush hairs stand up on the back of my neck. In Egypt and Syria, the Middle East will face catastrophe. Ay, vey, schmear. He's the guy, George Bush's poodle that helped get us into Iraq. See, there's no good side here. There just isn't. Don in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don. Hello, Don.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good, go ahead.
Hi, my only point or question is, why does action have to include military action? Have we learned nothing over the last 50, 60, 70 years?
Yeah.
That just bombing people doesn't do it. If there's definitive evidence out there that this happened and that they used those chemical weapons, why aren't they being brought up on international crimes and making the people who actually pulled the trigger, which is such a small minority of the people who live in that area, bring them
up? Don, you could even argue, you know, in terms of we went into this whole war in Afghanistan, and, you know, how do we finally get bin Laden? You know, not through a war. I mean,
exactly. So why not learn from that history? Bombing is not the only action that we can take.
Yep.
So apparently they're saying if we don't bomb them, then we're not taking action. And I think marrying those two comments together is just wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary. Again.
Allowing the use of chemical weapons on a significant scale to take place without a response would present a significant challenge to or threat to the United States national security interests.
Ron in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Ron.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Thank you for letting me speak. I happen to be a rabbi, and I happen to
know quite a bit about the situation in Israel, and the gentleman who just spoke a little while ago, I don't know whether it was the last speaker or the speaker before him.
We got about 30 seconds, said, Rabbi. Go ahead.
Okay. Israel did not use phosphorus explosives against civilians. That's been already cleared up a while ago. It was used as a camouflage weapon. It's perfectly legal, and it was not directed at civilians as such.
Okay.
It's a misnomer.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to actually Google that during the break.
During the break, yeah, it was too.
Anyone can obviously.
Camouflage weapon?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, so obviously a lot of concern and discussion about Syria. We are very pleased to be able to get our good friend from right there.
Right here.
Representative from right there.
from across the parking lot.
Yes. Democrat of right there.
Yes.
California, Burbank. Representative Adam Schiff, who was on the, hang on, I always get it wrong.
House Intelligence Committee.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not intelligent enough to remember that.
As opposed to the House Herbert Committee.
Right, exactly. Representative Schiff, good morning, sir.
Good morning, how are you?
I am good. I am obviously concerned, like a lot of people, you know, and obviously we wanted to get your take on this. From what I've read, I was quoting you from a Washington Post story. You said we will have to act. I don't think we can allow repeated use of chemical weapons now and escalated use of chemical weapons to stand. You know, and I think that you certainly have credibility on this because you have been on record as being very against, you know, getting into this in the first place, correct?
No, that's exactly right. I have strongly opposed and still oppose us becoming an arms supplier in a conflict, trying to provide sophisticated weapons to the rebels that we can't be sure would stay in the right hands and also won't be enough to change the balance on the battlefield but could draw us into the civil war. So I have been opposed to that kind of intervention, but I've also said all along that we should keep our priority and our focus on a few things, on trying to meet the humanitarian needs, bring about a negotiated end to the conflict, and our core security interest in the chemical weapons and deterring their use and disbursement. And unfortunately, we have now seen, if confirmed, repeated and now escalating use of chemical weapons by the regime. And if the use of chemical weapons is to remain a violation of international law and standards and against the norm in warfare, then something has to be done about it. Otherwise, not only will Assad be encouraged to use them further, but others around the world will come to view chemical weapons as just another instrument of warfare.
Well, Representative, I know that's the problem, is no one, there really are no great options here, are there? But the problem is, you know, you think, okay, if this is not aimed at taking Assad out, if it's not going to change the calculus in the civil war, how do you know that it's going to act as a deterrent? I mean, you don't, I guess, right?
You don't, and Stephanie, you're exactly right. I mean, none of these options are good, and in a war where 100,000 people have already lost their lives, and there are millions of refugees, half of them children. I mean, it's just an awful situation. And you know, if you evaluate any U.S. Or international action through the prism of will it end the conflict, you'd have to say no. The only thing that's going to end it is a negotiated settlement. But if there's a more limited aim that makes sense, and that limited aim is to stop them from using chemical weapons to kill their own people, to discourage others from using chemical weapons, that is an achievable objective, and I think it is a worthy objective to retain that international stigma on the use of these terrible weapons. Otherwise, I really think we're going to see other despots around the world look at the conflict and say, well, Assad used them. and no one batted an eye, and therefore this is part of what we can do.
Well, so what I'm reading is you would support targeted strikes to get rid of delivery systems for chemical weapons. You think that is possible, to be able to do that in such a targeted way?
I think it's possible to deter Assad and others from using them again. And it's not going to change the course of the conflict, and it shouldn't be designed to topple the regime. We don't want a situation, both because it would be unachievable. I think the airstrikes would have to be so massive to change the balance on the battlefield. But also we don't want to give the impression to the Syrians that this is the cavalry riding to the rescue and that therefore they should all rise up en masse against the Assad regime. That happened at the end of the Persian Gulf War, and many Iraqis were massacred expecting us to come in and finish the job. I think that if the president narrowly defines the objective, and that is to deter further use of chemical weapons, to degrade Assad's ability to deliver them, we can't stop him from doing it. I mean, if he makes a decision to do it no matter what, we don't want to try to take out the chemical weapons facilities themselves because that could disperse the chemicals.
Yeah.
They can be utilized in a very low-tech way, so there's no way of preventing it completely, but you can have a punishing deterrent, and that's probably all that can be hoped for. I just think that if this is confirmed, and I still want to see more in terms of the evidence, but if this is confirmed, I don't know how we can allow the repeated use of chemical weapons, now killing potentially over 1,000 people.
Well, Representative, and I said earlier, it does seem, different to me from Iraq, first of all, because we do have video and may have very concrete evidence, very shortly. But, I have to say, I hate to say this, but agree with Newt Gingrich to some degree when he said yesterday, there's no winning here. There's no good side in this. I mean, which I think goes to the point of why you don't want to arm the rebels, because you don't know who that is exactly, and whose hands those kind of weapons are going to fall into, right?
No, that's exactly right. And, it was interesting watching some of the GOP reaction yesterday between John McCain, who wants, as many in the GOP do, no-fly zone and vigorous airstrikes, and really wants to get us in there to decide the outcome. And then you have others like Newt Gingrich who say, we can't decide the outcome, and even if we could, there are no good parties involved here, and therefore we should do nothing. I don't agree really with either one of them. I certainly don't agree with John McCain's approach that would fully take ownership of the Civil War, and we've already owned two wars, and there's no appetite for owning a third. But I do think that there's a problem with Gingrich's argument, because it seems to suggest that unless you can do it all, there's no point in doing anything, even when chemical weapons are used. And I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm. The delightful Senator Ted Cruz, listen to this.
I certainly hope the reaction isn't simply lobbing some cruise missiles in to disagree with Assad's murderous actions.
Well, I mean, that's, some of the argument in terms of, what are we doing? If it's not removing him or changing the calculus, then, I mean, somebody compared it yesterday to message bombs, as they called them in Vietnam. I mean, that's the problem, Representative. You don't know what the effect's going to be, right?
Well, that is certainly a problem. And worst impacts could be that it could spread the conflict further, depending on what Assad's reaction is. I mean, Assad is not a rational actor. If he was a rational actor, he wouldn't have used chemical weapons. And, particularly at a point when he seems to have military momentum on his side, why he would do this doesn't make a lot of sense. So there's no telling what Assad's reaction will be, or what will the reaction of Iran or Hezbollah or Russia will be.
Mm-hmm.
This is a risk, as they say, the best laid plans in warfare end when you get to the battlefield. I think what, you know, Senator Cruz is saying and what some of the other GOP members are saying is they're going to be critical no matter what the president does.
Yeah.
And I think they're laying the foundation here for saying if there are targeted strikes that they can later say those didn't do any good. Look, it didn't end the conflict, and it didn't help the right secular opposition. Of course, those aren't the aims of what the president would be trying to achieve by deterring the use of chemical weapons.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you hear obviously so many.
Stephanie, I will be interested. You know, if it's necessary to go forward, the president makes that decision, and it does have the effect of deterring any further use of chemical weapons by Assad. I wonder whether Senator Cruz will later say the president was right and accomplished the objective.
Well, no, and that's a good point, Representative, because John McCain will never say the president's right on anything. The president, clearly, you know, according to John McCain, has not done enough yet and will not be doing enough. And, if he does do something, I mean, it just that's the thing, is to use this in a partisan way when it really is such a serious international crisis. I think, you know, it once again is not helpful, which is so surprising coming from our friends on the other side of the aisle.
Well, I know they would never dream of that. I do think for Senator McCain's part that, you know, he genuinely believes that we should be fully engaged in this war. And you know, that there's certainly, an argument to be made for that, and he's making that argument. There are others, though, that I think it's much more political in terms of just another opportunity to attack the president.
Yeah, I mean, Representative, I hear you, except that I think, you know, John McCain seems to want to be fully engaged in every war, including Iraq, which turned out to be, a disastrous mistake. And, of course, that Iraq obviously is casting a shadow all over all of this, correct?
Absolutely. The specter of getting the intelligence wrong about Iraq's WMD hangs over everything. And I'm sure the administration is very conscious of that, and for that reason trying to marshal all the evidence that it can. No one wants to repeat the mistakes of Iraq.
Yeah. Representative, obviously we're, going to hear all kinds of arguments on both sides, and being in talk radio we do, and I'm sure you'll thank me for dragging you into Israeli politics, but, obviously we had one caller already that said, Israel used phosphorus, and how come we didn't have any comment about that, and then we had a rabbi call and say that's not true, that, and then we Googled it, and they said they did admit it. I mean, what, do you have do you have any information on that, it's just one of the things people are going to bring up. It is this sort of whataboutism. How come the United States doesn't do anything about this or this?
Well, we can certainly be criticized for our inconsistency on a variety of issues. And, if you're going to look at the chemical weapons issue, the real prime example of inconsistency is Iraq, when Saddam Hussein used vast quantities of chemical weapons, and the international reaction, our reaction, was very muted. So, yes, there are certainly times you can point to, and case number one being Iraq, ironically, where there was extensive use of chemical weapons and very little reaction to it. That was a terrible mistake, and I don't think it justifies our ignoring the use now.
Yeah. Well,
you could say Agent Orange was chemical warfare as well. There's a lot of birth defects that follow from that in Vietnam.
No.
Yeah. Representative, before we go, a time frame? I mean, what are you hearing in terms of, because we're hearing that it's very shortly that, that the president would be making a decision.
Well, I have to think that given the statements of Secretary Kerry, the administration has already made the decision they have to do something, that the administration is still weighing what the right course of action is, and they want to gather more evidence, and they want to make sure that they have lined up the international community to the maximum degree possible. At the same time, once you have made the decision that you have to act in some fashion, time no longer works in your favor. It gives your adversary the chance to sow discord among your allies. So, I think they obviously want to protect the UN inspectors who are there. They want to gather continuing information. Britain wants to at least make a run at the UN Security Council to show that he's exhausted the diplomatic possibilities. That will take time, but I think that time is probably matter of days, but not a matter of weeks.
Yep. Representative, thanks for taking time for us on, you know, such an important day. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, thanks, Deb.
Thanks, Representative.
And of course, we.
I love him. He asked me to do come to a comedy night for him at the Improv,
yes.
I think, which I had to unfortunately say.
He says no.
Because I was like 7 o'clock at night.
on a school night.
Right.
Oh.
It starts at night. Okay.
I'm in bed by that time.
Yeah, me too. All right. Anyway, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on all this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
What would talk radio be without name calling?
That's right.
Somebody called to say that the rabbi that called in is a Zionist liar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by having him on, you're no worse than a neocon.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Okay.
You neocon.
Right. Right. Okay.
No, you're a paleocon.
Sure. Okay. All right. So, yes, we're looking at the BBC's site because... previous caller was talking about Israel using white phosphorus, and the rabbi said that's not true, and then he called back to say he didn't say it wasn't true. Israel did admit it, but he's what he meant, Jim, when he said a masking agent. The Israeli military said it will stop using artillery shells with white phosphorus to create smoke screens on the battlefield. That's what he meant. That's mm-hmm. what they were using it for. It says the shells will be replaced with types based completely on gas, which will create the same effect. Rights groups condemned Israel's use of white phosphorus during the Gaza conflict because of severely harmful effects on civilians. Yeah. The Israeli military said the existing shells contained minimal amounts of white phosphorus and would be removed from active duty soon. And all I said is... I don't think you can compare Israel to what Assad is doing. You know, I think that Israel was not deliberately gassing civilians. I think that, you know, but anyway, that's what that whole thing was about. We just want to make sure we had the facts of what
you
that was.
You Zionist liar.
Right, but I'm clearly also a Zionist liar. Okay. Someone will call me a dirty Jew by the end of the show, even
yes,
though
I know.
I am not Jewish.
Yes.
But that's okay.
You're kind of Jew adjacent.
Apparently.
Well, so
can we go back to calling me a race traitor?
Pretty much everyone I knew in high school was Jewish.
And I did date an Israeli. Uh-oh! Oh, no. Let's go to Kyle in New Jersey. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go
yeah,
ahead.
One of the things we don't talk about is the U.S. use of depleted uranium on
right.
the battlefield. When we use that, it basically decimates the area for generations,
mm-hmm.
inflicting cancer on people that are like, third or fourth generation. They're already talking about the stuff that came out of Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tragedy
yeah.
that was going on there.
Yeah.
Now look, you know, we're almost following the same rules that the Romans did when they sacked Carthage, razed it to the ground, and then rolled salt into the earth to make sure that nothing would grow there.
Mm.
You know, we have these policies, and let's ask ourselves, violating the Geneva Conventions, we were torturing people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's not put ourselves on some sort of moral high horse on this particular event.
Yeah.
But the thing that scares the bejesus out of me, okay, is the fact that really there is no winning side on this. We should not have, nothing strategically for us to be involved in this. And I'm amazed at the number of people that they can't say to themselves, we just should stay out of it. But for those who want to, this is what I suggest. Please go ahead, hop on a plane and send your kids there and you can join up and you can fight in the Congo if you want to and you can fight mm-hmm. for freedom fighters, whoever you want to call them, all around the world. Donate your money, okay? But don't use my kids on your battlefield for your crazy idea.
Well, we're not talking about sending troops in at this point, Kyle. But
how much money is a cruise missile? I could build a school.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is what General Dempsey warned about in this letter that, you know, made John McCain call him a big puss.
Yeah.
If
we send surgical strikes in there to take out only the places where they launch the weapons from, is that doing good?
Who can say? That's the problem.
Well, again,
yeah, maybe it'll work as a deterrent. Maybe it won't.
Unless they're already loaded on the missiles, and then we'll end up, you know, dispersing.
Well, I assume that we have intelligence.
We have intelligence.
Like that,
yeah.
CeCe in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, CeCe.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Good morning.
I'm so angry. I get so frustrated. You know, we say over and over and over, we don't know what's going to happen. But I can tell you one thing we do. We do know what's going to happen. We're going to have another country, and we may just be talking about this small group of infidels, and I hate that word, but, you know, there's going to be a small group of people who are going to be really pissed at us, and then there's a possibility now that they'll turn that aggression on us in whatever direction, in whatever way. We do know that that's going to happen, because they're not going to be all, come on, send your cruise missile on in. We don't mind. Nobody is going to be happy with this.
Yeah, there was a graphic online yesterday that said, women, so your government's going to bomb Syria because Syria bombed Syria?
Yeah, that was all over Facebook.
Yeah, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Certain times, doesn't humanity deserve
Stephanie Miller?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal at the top of the hour by phone.
Yep.
He's on the road. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear God. All right. I have some more not fun facts, but facts.
Okay.
On white phosphorus, because, as you know, normally I'm just called a race traitor, but now I'm also a Zionist liar.
That's right.
Oh, I'm not. I guess I am by proxy for letting the rabbi on. Okay. So, because he was talking about Israel using white phosphorus, these are the facts I Googled.
All right.
White phosphorus generates a dense white smoke and it ignites on contact with oxygen. It is considered an incendiary rather than a chemical munition and is not banned by international treaty, which is, I think, what the rabbi was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zionist liar, depending on your point of view in this. However, the use in populated areas of white phosphorus munitions, which spread burning toxic substance over large areas, violates the prohibition against attacks that cannot discriminate between civilians and combatants. Human Rights Watch said white phosphorus munitions are generally designed to serve as smoke screens, which is what he said, to illuminate targets, but they are harmful regardless of their intended purpose. According to Human Rights Watch, they've been working to strengthen the protocol on the, you know, the conventional weapons convention, urging states to prohibit the use of all incendiary weapons in civilian areas while working toward a complete ban. So, anyway, that's what that was about. But again, I just was drawing a distinction between that and Assad deliberately gassing his own
people.
So that's, you know, a debate on whether what things should or should not. And somebody actually rightfully brought up are using depleted uranium, you know, so there's a lot of moral lines in the sand here.
And, you know, as I said, Asian Orange in Vietnam caused all kinds of horrendous birth defects.
Right.
And then when we expanded the war into Laos and Cambodia, we left all these, unexploded devices. Millions of them.
Kids the killing fields.
Even today are getting their legs blown off, you know, the stuff that we left there.
And then there are, of course, the people on the complete bat side. Let's see. Sue writes, Steph, Jim, and Chris, I enjoy listening to your show, but I wish you'd do a little investigating of the facts where Syria is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
There is evidence in leaked documents that shows the U.S. framed the Syrian government in the use of chemical
weapons.
Please look at the following website. Paul Craig Roberts. Oh, I think that guy's a little...
Yeah, that's a legitimate news
Another
source.
Western war crime in the making. The war criminals in Washington. Okay. All right. So then I guess we staged that attack because you know what? I'll get through the whole website later, but thanks for the... I'm sorry I did not investigate those particular facts regarding Syria.
I do research all day long, so I know what's out there, you know, what's credible and
so
all that.
So that's out there.
If you send me a link to a website I have never heard of, chances are I'm not going to click on that. Sorry.
I did. I clicked.
You did?
How I found... we framed them. Okay. All right.
Oh, Stephanie, learn ya.
I wanted to make sure I was armed with all the facts regarding Syria before I opened my big pie hole.
Facts at that website?
Sue in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not going to go for the whole that the U.S. Is a conspiracy to frame, but what happens is when Obama said that it was a red line mm-hmm. for the U.S. to enter into the conflict if chemical weapons were used, Qatar and Saudi Arabia are paying the rebels, who are not really Syrian freedom fighters. They're al-Qaeda. The same people the U.S. has been fighting on the war on terror are the same people that rushed into Syria for the last 2 years in their holy war. These people are Wahhabis. They're Salafis. They are mm-hmm. 10 times worse, 1,000 times worse than you think Osama bin Laden ever was. Mm-hmm. These are the people fighting in Syria right now. And honestly, Bashar al-Assad is winning the war against these people. I don't see the reason for him to start using chemical weapons when he knew what the consequences were mm-hmm. when he got all these warnings from the West.
In fairness, though, I mean, it's not the president's red line. I mean, this is what international law has said is a red line,
right.
is the use of chemical weapons.
But the people backing the rebels, yes, but this is what the people backing the rebels, like the Qatar and the Saudi Arabia, they want to pull the West into the war. They want them to get involved because Bashar al-Assad is winning. This is how they get them involved. My background's from the Middle East. I have family in Lebanon. I watch Arabic-speaking language channels. I watch the news from overseas. I mean, they're not showing here what they show over there. There are videos on YouTube where they have rebels staging themselves laying down covered in blood like they were attacked by chemical weapons. They have found tunnels that were used by the rebels filled with these agents and ways to make chemical weapons.
I think that the evidence is pretty real that this particular attack
I wish the U.S. would just take a step back and just start examining it a little bit instead of already rushing military ships. Because this is going to be World War III.
You know what? The U.S. has had a close eye on this situation for a long time.
Yeah.
They have intelligence. They have spies.
What we were saying. We've heard that before. Varying degrees of confidence in the intelligence about previous smaller scale use of this. This is the first time, presumably, we have evidence of a massive chemical attack. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to GW in Los Angeles. Hey, GW.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just think that, if we don't have a draft, we shouldn't have a war. No draft, no war. Because all the wrong people get, into the service. McCain doesn't have any children or grandchildren who are, serving the country. And everyone mm-hmm. wants to say, USA, USA. Yeah, well, go serve and pay attention to the country. Pay your respects to the country by serving it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that's part of the problem. It becomes so abstract. It's not even like war anymore because we're not even talking about sending troops in. We're starting, talking about, we know what we're talking about anymore, like limited strike. What does that mean to the layperson?
Strikes to take out the places where they...
Right, it means cruise missiles from ships.
So
a
draft
reportedly.
Would be irrelevant in that situation.
Yeah.
Because
we're not talking about...
We're not talking about, drawn out
exactly.
10-year war.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, we weren't planning on that in Vietnam either. But.
Jeannie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeannie.
How are you?
Good.
I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
However, you struck a nerve with me,
Uh-oh.
So I wanted to share my concern.
Okay.
Is that people are listening too much to the, war drum propaganda and really not trying to understand, the causes behind the deal, because we both know that, generally speaking, when we're talking about the big boys, they always are looking for how can they make a buck. And so I really feel that, it's unfortunate that, like our leaders like to tie in religion and patriotism and the poor children and all this. And obviously I feel for the families that have been devastated by this event because I'm going to assume it's true.
Right.
But however, I really think that, and you're obviously in a position to do this, is really try to get the truth out there. That I have reason to believe that the deal is that going on in Syria right now boils down to, east versus west and, who's going to dominate the energy corridors, particularly the
mm-hmm.
pipelines.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
and the pipelines I'm referring to, I don't know their exact technical names, but basically they're the one that's associated from going from the South Pass fields in, I believe it's in Iran to Syria, and that's known as, I know it as, the Islamic pipeline. And I don't use the Islam to refer to a religion. I'm only referring to a description. And the other one, I believe, goes from Qatar to Europe via Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Turkey, and all this kind of stuff.
I mean, I think we obviously are acquainted with oil having something to do with a lot
everything,
of
everything, yes.
Who was it that said that was my personal favorite about Iraq, that Iraq's oil will pay for this whole thing?
I think that was Rumsfeld.
Well, at least he was right about where the weapons were.
East, north,
west, back
west,
down that
south
way.
South of there.
Yeah.
In that area, region, place.
That's where all that
deal.
Weapons are next to the oil that'll pay for it all. Rex in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rex.
Hi there. Hi. Yeah, I researched the strategic bombing of Germany in World War II, and we had the Brits go over at night and drop incendiaries, i.e. white phosphorus, and in the daytime we dropped high explosives, and we churned up the cities into giant firestorms. What happened to civilians that were hit with white phosphorus? It ignites in the air and just burns holes right through your body, releasing phosphorus in the tissues. And the German civilians actually jumped into canals to put out the phosphorus, but because it wasn't surgically removed from their bodies, the German civil defense came by and just shot them all. It is not an appropriate weapon to use on civilian populations. It's kind of in a gray zone. But using it in an area that's densely concentrated.
Rex, isn't it like any other, because it dissipates? I mean, even if you're using it as a masking agent on a battlefield, if it's anywhere close, right, to civilian areas, is what you're saying, right?
But it splatters. I mean, it causes a lot of smoke, okay? But that's, you know, the military. I have trouble believing the U.S. military, but it splatters on your skin and on your head, and unless a surgeon comes by and removes it surgically from your body, it just burns the hole and releases phosphorus, and it's extraordinarily toxic. And the lethality from white phosphorus burns is proportionally far greater than from any other kind of burning agent.
They started the firestorms in Hamburg and Dresden.
Today's show is festive. That's all I know. Okay.
Do we have a fun stack story to come back with?
Sure.
Okay, please.
Sure. Okay.
You're a little scared over here.
And then back to Armageddon. Oh, okay, God. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
War. How do you like it? How do you like it?
Get it? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. Oh, I know it'll be entertaining just to take a quick break from,
what?
You know, Armageddon, World War III, dogs and cats living together.
All right.
It's Gohmert time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Representative Louie Gohmert, who is really
Gohmert.
Yeah. Republican of Texas said Monday that it was a scary thought that elites could be culling the population with vaccines to preserve the Earth's resources.
Oh, my God.
Okay. What's he been doing on his summer vacation, you're wondering? Here's what he's been doing. As part of his break from Congress, he's been interviewing Alan Keyes, the equally...
Why?
While filling in as a guest host for Tony Perkins.
Oh.
No, mother blood. No, not.
Oh, that's not him.
No, not that guy, but just as crazy. On the Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
We're watching you, Washington. We got our
Gohmert pointed out that some liberals believe the Earth was already is already overpopulated. Keyes explained a lot of people who fancy themselves elites, right, because they've made a lot of money. Their names are all over the media and so forth. They've really signed on to an agenda that requires the depopulation of the globe. In the name of fighting global climatological change, called global warming, that's proven that to be something that's wrong. They are saying that we've got to cut back the population of the world. All right. You asked for a fun stack, just
please,
to clear our Siri power for a minute. Don't you hate it when you wake up cuddling a fox? What?
When he said your girlfriend was a fox,
yeah.
You weren't being metaphorical.
It was an actual fox. No, it's an honest to goodness fox. Oh, no. Leon.
Foxy lady.
When Leon Smith felt a warm body nuzzling his neck in the middle of the night, he naturally assumed it was his girlfriend looking for some late night loving.
His very fuzzy girlfriend.
No, it was an actual fox. he said, I just couldn't believe it. It was so calm, just staring at me. After 10 tense minutes, awkward, Fox realized nap time was over and scurried off. Smith said his midnight caller probably came in through the cat flap.
Oh, yeah, that's how it always
kitty.
Came in
kitty,
through the bathroom
no,
window.
Don't let a fox in the cat flap. All right. Foxy, later. That'd
yeah,
be disturbing.
We had to close our cat door because we had...
raccoons?
Invasions by possums and raccoons.
I have
really
a ginormous dog door, as you know.
Yes. Yeah.
How about this one?
I'm sure coyotes can come in through that door.
Easily.
Actually, man was bothered by a giant raccoon scratching at his door for several days a week. So he sat by his door with a .22 rifle, waiting for the critter to return. He was hospitalized after an ill-timed sneeze caused him to accidentally shoot himself.
Oh. I just effing shot myself.
Shot himself. Before he could take the shot, he fell from his chair, at which point his rifle
discharged.
Shot him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The raccoon is fine.
Good.
Oh, guns. It always ends well. Okay. Bob in Illinois on Syria. Hello, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
I think I've got the solution to why people worry more about, 200 deaths from chemical weapons than they do about 20 or 30,000 previously with AK-47s. And the reason is the AK-47s don't say made in USA. It's a little bit like the tear gas in Egypt. Whenever we ship something over that explodes that's designed to do anything but celebrate a holiday, we get in trouble. I got a feeling that, that those chemical weapons are leftovers they got from Saddam Hussein, and those were ours.
The ones that we sold him when he was fighting Iran.
But
the thing is,
into Sean Hannity territory.
Chemical weapons degrade, yes. After a while, so
okay.
They're no longer.
Joe in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I think this is a perfect opportunity to start talking about the sequester and how we need to get rid of that.
Because of the.
What do you guys think?
Oh, right. Well, yeah.
Well,
that,
we should have gotten rid of that a
thousand
long
different
time
reasons.
Ago.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's go to other fights besides Syria.
Okay.
How about the New York Daily News and Chris Christie?
This is.
Come on, is that the most awesome headline ever? Who are you calling an idiot, Fatso?
Yeah.
He called. Chris Christie called one of the writers an idiot.
Were you holding that up to the camera?
Yes. Ustream, here.
But you were holding it up to me. I'm like, there's no camera.
Well, I was showing you and
you.
The camera.
I see. Okay. Well, I sent it
we're
to you.
We're on Ustream.
I sent
and
it
we're,
to you.
Oh, so. We're inching closer, aren't we,
yes,
to our
we
new
are.
TV deal. I can't tell you or I have to kill you. Okay. Yes. New York Daily News wages war on Chris Christie, calling him fatso on the cover. It's about sports, which I don't. A Daily News reporter, Manish Mehta, I don't know, grilled Jets coach Rex Ryan over his decision to put Mark Sanchez on the field to replace Geno Smith.
That, you might as well be talking
right?
I have
Me
no
too.
Idea what you just said.
Only for Sanchez to end up with a serious shoulder injury, so then... Mehta's line of questioning didn't go over well with the coach, who apparently is also hefty.
Oh, dear.
So then Christie was co-hosting a sports radio show, which I think is better for him temperamentally, really, than governing.
A little bit.
That's just mine.
A little bit.
He said, idiot, the guy's a complete idiot, self-consumed, underpaid reporter. We shouldn't be giving this dope the amount of airtime we've given him already. And so that's what started who are you calling an idiot? Fatso was the cover.
All right.
And then they did one of those side-by-side comparisons
sure.
with the reporter and Christie. Meta job, New York Jets beat reporter job, governor of New Jersey, Christie. Height, 5'10". Height of Chris Christie, 5'11". Mm-hmm. Weight of Meta, 180 pounds. Weight estimated 300 to 350 for Christie. And then likes for Meta, breaking more stories on the Jets beat than anyone else. Likes of Chris Christie opening his big yap, picking on people not going to the gym. Fight, fight, fight. It's a Manish versus the meatball is what they're calling the fight. God. Dear God. Boys, boys.
New Jersey is just a special place all its own, isn't it?
Sports radio just seems just loud.
Oh, believe me, I know.
I don't.
When I do post-production, I do it out of the sports studio.
Right.
And it's just,
a lot of yelling.
There's a lot of yelling in sports
radio.
Why do
they yell so much in sports? Why is that?
I don't get it.
Yeah. So that happened. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sarah Palin is officially supporting the defund Obamacare pledge.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. She announced because so many people care.
Somebody cares about that?
An effort by conservatives to block funding for President Obama's care law. She said, this beast must be stopped by not funding it. Too bad she can't shoot it from a helicopter.
I know. Mm.
Those in the Senate and those seeking to serve there must stand strong against this devastating program before it reveals its true face, now recognized by both sides of the aisles as the bureaucratic and economic beast that will deny our families, our businesses, and our sick the ability to access health care.
Jim is making just as much sense as you are as Sarah Palin.
And furthermore...
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy.
Well, of course, then we'll get single payer if they kill Obamacare, so...
Right.
Good on you.
Bring it on, Caribou Barbie.
Well
58
done,
minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God!
Wow, tight white shorts—not a good look, really, on hardly anyone.
Not shorts, I don't think.
Yeah, they are. There they are on Chris Christie. That's gone viral. That there, it is the most legendary man faux pas. Ever. Urban Dictionary says that is a...
fat upper pubic area.
Yes, oh dear. He looks like he has not just a vagina, but he's pregnant. It's a...
That's made of a camel toe.
Wow. That is quite something. Okay. Quickly, let's get to our hate mail. Okay, Chris, you and I, Chris, all of us have fallen down on the job on Syria because we've not done our research and we did not book Paul Craig Roberts.
Oh, sure.
Who writes the following. The war criminals in Washington... and other Western capitals determined to maintain their lie that the Syrian government used chemical weapons, having failed to in their efforts to intimidate the UN chemical inspectors in Syria. Oh, I guess we did that, not the Syrians.
Did they
sniper firing them and bombing?
Did they give any indication of proof as to...
Oh, well, yeah, here it is. Listening to their voices, observing their body language, looking into their eyes, it's completely obvious that John Kerry and his British and German puppets are lying through their teeth.
Right. Okay.
He further goes on to write, at Nuremberg, the Nazis were sentenced to death for precisely the identical actions being committed by Obama, Cameron, and Holland.
And this is based on the way John Kerry looks?
Well, he's had Botox, so,
yes, so
right.
That's going to change your...
He kind of gives you a side eye anyway.
Spidey right. Senses.
Yeah.
One more quick hate letter. Victor says, please stop pretending you're a liberal. You are a liberal in name only. You've had several calls in the last few days opposing military action in Syria, which, yeah, I'm... pretty hinky about it, too. Like we've been just discussing all sides of it. I'm not...
Right.
To which your pat response has been largely, we Americans don't want to say we don't care. Well, I mean, I think we do care about children being gassed. What to do about it is another... Anyway. The drunken radio slag who puts dogs on an equal plane with people. Oh, that's not true. Dogs are way, way better. Is somehow more representative of how Americans feel. You don't want to see pictures of women and children bleeding from the eyes due to chemical weapons. Don't look at the pictures. Oh, okay. P.S., Chris, you get caught in the crossfire here. Chris's assertion he doesn't think John Kerry would be so strong in his assertion the Syrian government was behind the chemical weapons attacks if he wasn't sure is probably one of the 10 dumbest things Chris has ever said on the air. Oh, that is also not fair. Chris has said way, way dumber things.
Like?
pick almost anything.
Por ejemplo.
Oh, and also I'm a Zionist liar.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? The hump day. Oh. Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
I take it back. It is someone that would look good in tight white shorts. Here he is.
Thank you. Sparks. Thank you very much. But I would never wear those white shorts after Labor Day.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
Hey!
So you only got until Monday.
Only fair. I think, first of all, before we deal with important elements of state and War Powers Act and those kind of things, we must address immediately the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Uh-huh. That you actually went on TV and had a problem with what Miley Cyrus did. What is wrong with you? I've teabagged you in almost every major city in this country, and now you're complaining about how she's behaving.
I am not complaining. I'm merely saying
you were pearl clutching of the worst order, and I will not have it.
I was only jealous that I had not thought of bringing a giant styrofoam finger on the sexy liberal tour, but. But you're correct, sir. You have debagged me in most cities in this continent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Believe me. She's 20 years old. She's if she can go to war, drive a car and vote, she can certainly do something silly and sexual on stage on the VMAs, for God's sake, which is where you sell.
We generally at least don't encourage the children to go to sexy liberals. All I'm saying. I was just trying to think of the children.
She's not a child. She's 20.
No. I'm talking about because kids were watching. You know, it's a thing anyone can watch.
Right. Somebody please think of
exactly.
The children.
Clutch the pearls.
It's a sad day that would be actually your voice recorded. I was very disappointed, and I don't want to see it again.
Okay.
I won't stand for it.
Okay. Thank you. I consider me chastised.
I can't deal with that. That's the other side's business.
Consider this barbarian discipline. Now, Hal, we have a serious international situation going on here.
You called me to solve it, didn't
you? Yes, I did. Go ahead.
That's why I'm here. Okay.
All right.
First of all, we need to say to both our liberal friends and conservative enemies that everybody needs to be really clear that explanation is not advocacy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be, especially when you're dealing with things where you're trying to convey the storyline from either side, whether you believe they are facts or not, you are trying to express what one side is saying and what another side is saying. And this is not in the CNN world of saying that they're equal, but if you're trying to explain the information you're getting, the explanation is not saying you agree with it
right.
or that you're okay with it or that you immediately believe, either the CIA or...
Right, as Rachel Maddow said last night, this is tough stuff. I mean, it really is a situation where there are not good options, and I, you know what, I can understand some of Adam Schiff's points, and I can understand some of Newt Gingrich's points where he says there isn't a good side here. There's no winning. It's hard to say.
You know who else didn't have good options? Hitler.
Right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Now, Hal.
Godwin's law, you have just violated it. You have to leave the room.
Yeah.
And anybody that doesn't know that Godwin's law states the first person to bring up the Nazis in a conversation or an argument loses immediately.
Lose. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I call me crazy. But I think the path this time around is, since we're back where we started, we have weapons inspectors on the ground, evidence and accusation of chemical weapons or WMD usage, and we are right back to the pre-Iraq war drum-up in a lot of ways. We're standing at the exact same pivot point in policy. So what's the – what did we do last time? While the inspectors were there, we ignored them and went ahead with the strikes. I think the smart thing to do now is to rethink that path because it didn't work and go, we're not going to strike until we get a full assessment from them and a full briefing from the intelligence community that not only was this an intentional attack by the Assad regime and not some rogue general that was playing on some old war game that they had sitting for a long time, and he just decided he was sick of shooting and decided to do this without any word from the top, and that's how they could avoid any, basically tip the scales of the world view on this. We do the due diligence, because in deference to the people who were killed, they're going to be just as dead in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's no shelf life on revenge if that's what business we're going to be in.
Yep.
And secondly, if the weapons inspector, they're not going to attack again because the weapons inspectors are in and everybody's watching. And if they do, you don't even need the second, you don't even need the results.
No, it's a good
point. So it solves itself if you can hold your patience and be an adult about the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that makes good sense. I mean, I think that, you know, the difference is obviously thus far with Iraq, though, is we have video and these pictures, and clearly they are deliberately trying to keep the UN inspectors from, A, getting there in the first place, and then, you know, doing
right,
their
well,
work.
Some will recall the I think it was the Qatar footage, you know, or was it, well, there was supposedly footage of Iraqi soldiers killing babies and raiding a hospital. Which turned out to be false.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about the same arc of intel, video, and outrage, and time span that this is. So I'm not. And again, explanation is not advocacy. I'm not saying that that was fake. So this is fake, or vice versa. I'm saying that. All of this we will be bored out by more information, more investigation than less. And if we're in the revenge business for the people who were gassed as opposed to trying to stop a regime from using chemical weapons in the long term, then, you know, we have to get on board with everybody who's enforcing that treaty, not just us.
Yeah, well, I mean,
unless we want a proxy war with Russia, which is really what this is about.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we were on with Adam, Representative Schiff, earlier, and he's been strongly against getting involved in this in any way and arming of rebels, any of it. And you know, he feels they've crossed the line, and he's supporting limited strikes on just the systems delivery system, you know, the delivery systems for the chemical weapons. Will it work, Cal? Who the hell knows? Will it be a deterrent? Who knows?
Right. There are two mechanics that are going to be used and employed at this point. There will either be a limited 5 to 7 missile strike on what we are told our facilities, whether they are or were or might have been able to be used for later. That's sort of the standard if you go by sort of Clinton's short war for this similar kind of thing. The problem is they've threatened, if this happens, to bring Israel into this and strike Israel. So it's either one of two things. They do this and like a slap on the wrist because everybody's clearing out of the space that they know they're going to hit. And Syria just continues on with their regular ground war, or, they gear things up to strike Israel, and then we've got a real dusting going on. This is just full-on fighting. And Russia won't strike us or Israel to do this, but they will start pumping more stuff into Syria to do it.
Well, thank God this isn't a complicated decision. Hal Sparks, we need you to stay for one more segment. Might you do that, sir?
Yes.
All right.
Hooray!
Thank you. I need more hump with Hal, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sure.
17 minutes after. I mean, I'm no Miley Cyrus, but I'll do the best I can.
Okay.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is commercial breaks when we whine.
Yes.
21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
I don't want any wine. I don't want to go wine country.
Okay, stop it, Reince Priebus.
Stop whining. It's Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hello, Hal Sparks.
Hi.
Where are you performing? Where might we see you live?
Oh, I'm at Grand Valley University here in Grand Rapids, Michigan,
nice.
Where the home of Ash's shotgun
Evil
Dead movies.
Oh, wow.
Yes!
Yeah. This little baby was made in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh,
so,
wow. Thank you, sir, for that fun fact.
And you can hear Hal and possibly see him on Ustream next week, Tuesday through Friday.
Oh, that's right.
That's
he will be filling in for us when we're on vacation.
Yeah.
I will fill you in.
Thank you.
what?
Thank
what?
You. What?
What?
Hang on. Hang on now.
Yeah.
All right. Chip in Reno, you're on with Hal on the Sirius situation. Hey, Chip.
Hey. You know, I think everybody's pretty agreed that military action hardly seems like it's going to produce a desirable result. Probably makes things even worse. But a couple ideas that are floating out there that I've kind of taken a liking to. One is, you know, why not pull out the International War Crimes Court and get them involved in this? And the second idea that I know a number of congresspeople are pushing is, let's put the discussion about what the U.S. response is to be back in the Congress. There's not an emergency. You know, I don't think President Obama needs to be out there the only decider on
that's a good idea, but the do-nothing Congress, Hal. Here you go. What would you do?
Yeah.
It's such an easy problem. I'm sure you've gotten so much accomplished already.
I figured this out. I was actually at Rachel Maddow's show last night. I was the entire show, I was sitting over on the side watching and talked afterwards for a little bit. Because I went in to just visit and say hi to her, but watched the show, and then we talked afterwards. And what we talked about essentially was precisely that, was that there is no – The Congress needs to be involved in this decision. The problem is there are two ways for them to get involved. One is to have the president call them back from recess to do it, and which 37 of them have said they're interested in doing, and that shows bipartisanship, which is bananas. Or they can do it themselves because the ratcheting up is important. They could John Boehner could call Congress back into session. He's not going to, but he could. And the point is, and the World Criminal Court idea, that's a great idea. I'm for it. If only we were a signatory to it and we didn't run from it every time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't participate in it. So it's not exactly, if we start using that tool and then, you know, then that really opens the can of worms. How come, you know, Bush and Cheney aren't on trial for war crimes for what they did? And, and you know, and then we, I mean, that's why we won't use it. To answer his question again, I'm not advocating that we don't use it, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't be tried for those things. I'm just telling you why it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm out of the should business for a moment.
I mean, well, you know, I mean, look, there is that, that, you know, clearly this administration does have more credibility, at least to me, than Bush and Cheney. I mean, and the problem
is that's why
Iraq has cast a shadow over this entire country and
no
our credibility.
We've all got cry wolf syndrome. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
9%, maybe 13% max support an actual physical strike, an actual, you know, military strike.
That'd be the
that
Cry Wolfowitz
largely...
strategy.
Hey!
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 I did there? Cry Wolfowitz, I said.
Oh, I see. Yes, he cried Wolfowitz. You're absolutely right. I mean, and people will go, well, you're just blaming Bush again. This is blaming Bush.
Right.
I'm not blaming Bush. I'm blaming Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Pearl and all of them because it was a machine.
Right.
Yep, I agree.
More importantly,
did you hear what Pat Robertson said? Why? Take a listen, won't you?
I think the homosexual community has put these draconian laws on the books that prohibit people from discussing this particular affliction. You can tell somebody they got a heart attack. You can tell them they've got high blood pressure, but you can't tell anybody they've got AIDS. You know they do in San Francisco, some of the gay community, that they want to get people, so if they've got the stuff, they'll have a ring, you shake hands, and the ring's got a little thing where you cut your finger.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's that kind of vicious stuff, which would be the equivalent of murder.
Yeah,
that's that would be
so
really
much sense.
Scary if it wasn't a rejected Law and Order script that both the writers and the legal department went, not only is that incendiary, but it's stupid and a lie as well. But understand, though, this is not about... Oh my God, Pat Robertson said, you know, gay people will wear pointy rings that will cut you and give you AIDS.
Right.
It's that we just got, somebody installed a window on this old fart skull. And and these are the thoughts that are bouncing around in that empty cranium of his. That's bananas. And that's why you have a bunch of kids getting the measles in Texas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of people like him. That's what this is about. This is flat earth Christianity at its worst.
There was a church, you're right, there was a church in Texas who advocated not getting their kids vaccinated, and then a measles outbreak. mm-hmm. occurred in the church, and it's spreading throughout the community now.
Oh, gee. What a
surprise. Yeah, and they're all having to rush out and get vaccinated. Yeah. They're having to, everybody's running out to get vaccinated now.
Meanwhile, there's a couple on trial because their second child has died from something that could have been cured by simple, you know, antibiotics, but they decided to pray over him instead. I mean, it's, you know, all right.
You don't think prayer can withstand the power of an antibiotic being administered? Why don't you give him the antibiotic and pray? Here's a good idea.
Yeah, that would help.
There you go.
Can you do that?
Buddies. Yeah, your best buddies with the ruler of the universe, and you think he actually is going to deftly bend reality to your will through prayer. What? He's not going to go, well, I was going to magically heal your child with pixie dust, but all this antibiotic got in the way and messed up my whole game.
Yes, like, my pixie dust, right.
Exactly. I sent you two boats and a helicopter. That's
right.
A joke.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Eric in Indiana, you're on with Hal. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I'm a veteran, and I served in OIF-1 and OIF-3, and I actually was on the Iraqi, Syrian, Jordanian border for several months. And I'm so torn as to what to do with this whole situation because I see that I was watching the news on NBC the other night, and they showed the little kids who'd been gassed, and they're spraying them off, and I just started crying. Sorry, and my son. You know, he was like, what's wrong? I had to leave. And I just don't know. I can't stand to see what has happened, with the whole situation. And, I guess it does give me some pause and to think that maybe some of these weapons of mass destruction that we never did find, I guess, the big stockpiles that people were, that we were told that maybe were there, because maybe they did move them over there. I always thought they did.
All right, Hal, do you want to hang on? Because we're at a hard break, or do you have to go?
Yeah, no, I can hang on.
Okay.
And I have to address that, because that's actually a story that's circulating all over the place.
I know, exactly. We'll be right back with Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are beautiful. You pop, sparkle, and buzz electric.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Our listeners are helpers, Chris. Someone suggested earlier we all go on vacation together next week so that we can heal from our NSA fighting.
No.
Tommy says, Chris, you can book your stay at a Branson, Missouri RV park. It has a bark park, so Steph can bring her dogs. Thank you, Tommy. What a delightful idea. Wouldn't that be a little slice of heaven, boys?
Yeah. Climb into an
spending,
RV.
Yeah, in an RV in Branson, Missouri with you two.
Right, and the dogs.
Wow.
Mm. Okay.
God.
You know what will be magical? Hal Sparks filling in for us next week.
Is this heaven? No, it's Branson.
When we're all on vacation together. Hello, Hal Sparks.
Are you guys all going to be in a kennel next week? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Get caged and fed and groomed.
Yes,
exactly.
Shots. Exactly.
About time.
This last caller, that's the thing is you start to smell a right-wing troll. What happens is they always, of course, served in Iraq or somewhere, and so you can't. And then I'm like, that's a Sean Hannity talking point. Move the weapons to Syria.
Like I said before, we're all in cry wolf mode, anyways. So,
right.
and then that's a healthy place to be in something like this. And it does start to sell like somebody selling intervention to people who might not be on the team. If you're trying to gussy up, you know, from a neocon war strike kind of way, how do we jumpstart the Bush administration's old plans for the Middle East? This might be the doorway. So let's start calling everybody and showing up on shows and and writing blog posts and YouTube.
And saying I served in the war and start crying about the kids getting gas, which of course we all care about, but I know. But then when you end with, they probably are the weapons that Saddam moved to Syria. I always thought he did. It's like, how convenient.
Sure.
Yeah. It justifies Bush's invasion of Iraq and magically gets us into another war.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly precisely what is happening. That's what all that conversation is about. The gas they're talking about isn't the kind that would have survived that long. They were
that's
old
right.
when
right. Jim said that. Yeah.
And it would also kind of I don't know why, but undermine the fact that Syria would have the complete capability of making things like this on their own. It's hard, but it's not that brutally complicated, especially chemical weapons, especially if nobody's looking. We were, you know, we were crawling all over Iraq looking for them, and they didn't have them. Nobody really went looking in Syria at any particular point before or after.
Right.
So
right.
they had plenty of time to make their own. It's right. like saying if North Korea tests a nuclear missile, they must have bought it from Iran because we think Iran has a program.
Right.
That's, it's not the, you know,
right, and we have ample reason not to trust George Bush and Dick Cheney, who just said yesterday he won't apologize for Iraq. That, you know, nothing wrong there. And I mean,
everything's perfect.
You know, when I say I trust Obama and Biden and Kerry, more, I just do. I mean, we were talking today about, you know, Tony Blair wrote an op-ed about how, you know, we have to bring freedom. And I'm like, oh, that reminds me. Who does that remind me of?
That is the force of human freedom. Freedom in all the world. Freedom, freedom's cause. Free dissent without freedom. Human liberty.
Oh, boy. Remember that? Remember that?
Oh, my God.
The fiery kind of freedom.
I still have this huge chip on my shoulder for every tick that sucked on the wound of 9/11 by attaching the word freedom to whatever product they were selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Freedom Tower.
I mean, that was ubiquitous. Everybody was, you know, now you had the Freedom Store. These were, you know, like Freedom Fries were one thing as a, you know, as a slam on the French. But a lot of people were just calling, like just selling memorabilia about 9/11 made in China that they don't care either way, hoping it would drive up beer sales.
Yeah. Not only was it ubiquitous, it was everywhere.
Thank you.
Surrounding it.
Yes, exactly. Halbert, so, yeah, I mean, I, you know, so where do you, I mean, because obviously, you know, we were talking to Representative Schiff that, I mean, this sounds like this is pretty imminent in terms of, you know, some sort of decision. What is your sense what the president's going to do?
I don't think so necessarily. I mean, the process of actually, you know, they're moving Schiff there, absolutely. There's a lot of posturing going on. We've done a lot of posturing in the past. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to happen. It really doesn't.
Right.
And it, you know, it could be that we're moving into those positions to scare other members of the UN Security Council and other countries to start wagging a finger at Russia and China to kind of get in line to make sure they're not just for killing people. Now, that's rough. China, we have a better case to be made with them because they're a little more serious about this, and Russia arguably is sort of a gangster state for all practical purposes these days. So it's they're going to do what they're going to do because all they need is oil and all they do is, you know, they sell it and they use it and they don't produce a lot else. You know, there's not, you know, they don't need us for anything and we don't need anything of theirs. So we're in a precarious position. You know, they're an ex-superpower and their biggest concern, our biggest concern with Russia is just the loose amount of military gear and nukes that they have. And we need them to be friends just so they don't unlock the shed that's holding all their leftover crap close to the Kazakhstan border, you know. So that's, it's so funny. It's like trying to talk a drunk into drive, you know, out of driving home because he's going to be using your car. Like, it's really, you don't care about him so much. and that's where we are with Russia. That's the problem. And that's, maybe this posturing will lead to that. I mean, I think they're more than likely, both, you know, Obama and Kerry are sitting in the room going, what are our five obtuse angles to this? That are different than just, okay, they shot something, they did something wrong, so we'll blow up their thing, because that's what you do. We're almost like doing the Microsoft thing when we need to start thinking different. You know what I mean? We need to take sort of the Apple approach to dealing with this kind of thing instead of just go to the UN, clamor about, or fire on some sort of facility and then clap our hands together and go, okay, well, that's that. We did, you know, now watch yourself, Mr. Assad.
You know, as a legendary comedian yourself, you will appreciate Kevin in Chicago says, Stephan, the moves, I think President Obama should deploy the Sam Kinison strategy regarding Syria or any Middle Eastern country. Simply tell those who don't want to be killed by rebels, terrorists, dictators, or chemical weapons to move the out.
Oh.
Move to
a lot of those people moved out of Iraq and are in Syria because of they were doing precisely that.
Right.
They're running out of places to move.
Yeah.
And you know, and one of the few places that are probably safe from the majority of that stuff is Israel, but all the settlements there are not for their kind.
Mm. Obviously on this NSA stuff, President Obama met yesterday with the new five-member panel he appointed to review the privacy issues involved with U.S. government surveillance programs. You know, it's interesting because obviously you just brought up Russia, and you know, obviously we had the Snowden thing before this now. And again, I just feel like that you and I have had this conversation, but the difference between this administration and the Bush administration, I think it should be reviewed. I think there are obviously abuses that are occurring, but I think this is not the Bush administration. Who, first of all, would never have set up a panel like that in the first place to review anything.
Right. Well, there's singularly almost nothing that this president has done that the Bush administration would do. As a matter of fact, Mitt Romney ran on the fact that we got to take our country back to the Bush era. There's a reason for that. I will say that there is these reins get handed to somebody else later, and that's the big concern everybody has, is that as much as we might trust him, it creates what is, you know, either doctrine or legal precedent for behavior. And if we don't stop the behavior, then all we need is the wrong guy to get in there. And then we have, you know, Martin Sheen and Dead Zone going, missiles are away, hallelujah.
Yes.
And so there is a reason why the rules must supersede the presidential power. That being said, I certainly trust that, you know, he's been going about this. Here's the problem, though. There are guys in the NSA, in the CIA, in the NIA, in the DOD that were put there by Cheney, not even during this Bush administration, but back in the 70s. There are guys who are on a trajectory in terms of geopolitical strategy that they are not going to waver from, no matter who is president, because that's their plan.
Yeah, they started this during the Ford administration.
You know, speaking of infighting on the left, I wanted to get your take on speaking of who takes the reins next, there's an op-ed in the L.A. Times, I believe.
By the way, just so you know. Me.
What? Yes, you.
Me, yeah. So,
it's an op-ed entitled Too Early to Crown Clinton. It's actually written by a conservative, but, you know, making some points about the fact that, you know, obviously everyone's expecting a coronation of Hillary, and, you know, he's saying... He said between Clinton and Elizabeth Warren, the far left of the Democratic Party and many members of the media would probably prefer Warren. Already there's a growing, even angry chorus of liberals declaring that Warren should get the nomination over Clinton at any cost. Are we going to have another primary like the last one that's going to rip our side apart? I mean,
of course not. That is absolutely ridiculous. That is childish and dumb. And anybody who thinks that at the expense of, you know, Hillary, people will clamor for Elizabeth Warren as some sort of, like, this is the real versus the unreal, or that there's going to be some genuine civil war, is trying to distract from the fact that the Republicans hate each other right now, because some of them think the earth is flat and are rowing towards the edge, and the rest of them know they're going to run out of food because the earth is round, and they're arguing. Nice. While they all get scurvy and
which by the way, they won't. Well, you know, will not be covered apparently because they're going to defund Obamacare. But I love this Mike Lee, the one that's behind the defund Obamacare thing. I love how they're trying to turn this around. He's like, it would be unfortunate if Democrats in the Senate insist on shutting down the government simply because they want to defend, regardless of the cost, a law that has become increasingly unpopular among the American
people. Look in the mirror, pal.
Right? It's the why are you hitting yourself? Why are you shutting down the government?
Yeah, that's a really cute response, and they've seen that a couple of times where they're trying to pawn it off on the president that he won't sign a bill, but he can actually sign a bill that violates the law, and the law requires the funding of the government based on what it actually is dutifully appointed to do by its representative government based on the public. So the laws have got to be pressed. Here's the other thing. You shut down the government, guess what? You're only going to drop the discretionary funds attached to Obamacare. You can't defund Obamacare that way. There's $15 billion discretionary over the $76 billion year that's associated with it for its running and funding, which, by the way, saves us over $300, but that's another story entirely.
It's like most of their ideas, really, really douchey and completely ineffective at the same time.
Unless it's an extreme emergency or healthcare takes us some sort of weird peak and everybody gets, I don't know, measles all of a sudden. But the idea that somehow they're going to defund Obamacare by shutting down the government is factually untrue. But here's the thing.
Exactly.
The discretionary funding that we use because we do our wars on these supplemental credit cards during Iraq and Afghanistan is that a lot of our military stuff is put into those secondary supplemental, that they aren't written in law. And so when you do cut those things, you defund $15 billion of unneeded Obamacare funds, and you also defund payments to troops.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's how it's done.
All right.
And they're going to find that out the hard way.
Yep. Hal Sparks, I wish I weren't on vacation next week so I could listen to you filling in for me on vacation next week.
I think we're in our iHeartRadio station, aren't we?
Oh, awesome. Then yes. I will be able to listen
to
you on my
vacation. Spin to me.
Okay. I love you, Hal Sparks. Have fun next week.
Thank you. I will.
All right. There he goes. Hump day. Hal Sparks. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa, that was cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12 is where you could call me if you were so inclined.
Exactly.
Oh, Julie points out it was Wolfowitz who said the Iraq's oil would pay for the Iraq invasion.
It was Wolfowitz.
And that's why people are, as Jim said, crying Wolfowitz again.
You see?
You see because over Syria. Hi! All right. Oh, and Scott says, Steph, I'm hoping that you will leave your box behind during vacation so Hal can play with it. Yes. In fact, I'm going to leave him a giant styrofoam finger. To play with it.
Maybe you could twerk it.
I could twerk on my box all day. All right, with all this war talk going on, I realize that we are lucky enough to welcome a new sponsor as well to the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Crazy Dave with this week's crazy specials at Drone City. It's the greatest drone sale ever. General Atomics, Scale Composites, Lockheed Martin. We have all your favorite unmanned aerial vehicles under one roof. Look at this. Autonomous recon drones. No background check required. $49.95. Remotely piloted vehicles. Ground control station included. From just $89.95. Crazy. Come on down. Free hot dogs and free balloons for the kids.
My dad got me this Predator MQ-1 attack drone with AGM Hellfire missile. And help me set it up.
That's awesome.
Forget Iraqi freedom. It's Operation Fun for the whole family at Drone City. Remember, the FAA says that by 2015, there should be over 7,500 drones in the air over America. Make sure one of them is yours. Just grab the controls, and before they know it, you've got a bird's-eye view of your neighbor.
Get out of here, you big perv.
Maximize your control over any situation with minimal risk and minimal collateral damage. Get it all on sale now at Crazy Day. Greatest drone sale ever. Remember, we will not be undersold. We cannot be undersold. We will never be undersold. And we mean it. Crazy Dave's Drone City. Our prices and our product are insane.
Whether in a group or all alone, everything's better when you have your own drone. Drone City.
So, who are you planning to bomb in this country with all those drones flying over the U.S.?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay. Miley Cyrus has photobombed us. Again, new photos of herself in provocative poses, all showing her backside, Jim.
Yeah.
She's a slut. Look at her slut.
Although Hal Spark called me out, I must say, since he has teabagged me in every city in America on the Sexy Liberal Tour.
You are in no position to complain.
I'm a clutch the pearls prude now.
Uh-huh. My stars.
Oh!
No.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Hey, we mentioned this yesterday, but George Zimmerman said he expects to recover from the state no more than a fraction of the his defense expenses. Oh, we are sorry we have inconvenienced you, and it took you so much longer to get home since you had to step over the dead teenager and all. Anything else we can do for you?
Yeah.
Attorney Mark O'Mara, Jim.
That's just awesome. That's just so awesome that this.
Plan to seek reimbursement from the state for defense costs is estimated at $200,000 to $300,000, but he expects to receive only $50,000 or less. Because of limitations on what the state can and approve. I think it's just patently unfair.
It makes me so mad. I want to go. No, I better not say that.
Okay. Ah, blah, 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 blah. The sum sought by O'Mara does not include his standard fee, which he said in this case would have totaled about $1 million.
$1 million.
When really? A couple of sharks as well, or no?
With laser beams.
He needs to buy new clackety comedy teeth.
How many sharks with laser beams on their heads and clackety comedy teeth?
He does look like a face that is just constructed around a pair of clackety comedy teeth,
right,
in my opinion.
What was that British series with the puppets when they did Reagan and Thatcher? Oh, all that was that?
Spitting Image?
Spitting Image, yes. Yes, yes. That, wow. That reminds me of that.
Pulled that out of my...
Woo! Wow. All right, we were talking to Hal a little bit about Affordable Care Act. Hey, a big, for the CEO of Starbucks, a big...
Yeah.
By the way, loves me some Starbucks. French roast every morning. And now even more reason. Starbucks coffee will not follow the lead of other companies that are cutting health insurance benefits or reducing hours for employees in anticipation of the U.S. Affordable Care Act. He said other companies have announced they won't provide coverage for spouses. Others are lobbying for the cutoff to be at 40 hours. But Starbucks will continue maintaining benefits for partners and won't use the new law as an excuse to cut benefits or lower benefits for its workers.
Good for them.
Yeah, the new law requires companies with more than 50 employees to offer health insurance for employees who work 30 hours a week or more. Starbucks currently provides health care to part-timers who work 20 hours a week or more.
Wow.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Fine American. Terrific coffee.
I love Starbucks.
Hey, here's something that's awesome. Since we've had so much bad news today, they're doing a reboot of Love American Style.
Yes, they are.
God, really? I hated it the first time around.
I love that show. On CBS. CBS has put in development Love American Style contemporary version of the 70s anthology series.
You know what was the biggest spinoff of Love American Style?
What?
Happy Days.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was. It came from an episode entitled Love and the Happy Days.
Thanks for that. Come on, Jim, sing with me. Love American Style.
And who sang that song?
Me and you.
Who sang that song?
Who?
The Cal Sills.
Oh!
Yes!
Wow, that's a lot of fun facts.
I know, and I think we're down a Cal Sill, too.
Uh-oh. Are we?
Yeah.
Are we down a Cal Sill today?
We're down a Cal Sill.
Uh-oh.
Drone strike?
No, natural causes.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and congratulations before we go to New Mexico. Monumental win for marriage rights in Mexico, marriage equality in Mexico. Love American Style. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Yep. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and T-Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.